makes my life. Said I'm out here, and I know it ain't right.
Too hard for God. No, no. Oh. I want to ask somebody, how many know Jesus will fix it? Counseling's not too hard for me. Jesus!
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
If you have 2 Kings chapter number 4, and you're standing in reverence of the word of God, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, we're looking at verse number 1, and it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said unto her, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all these vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went in from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And they all stayed. Yes. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fades away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. We want to talk to you about this from step two, having faith in God and trusting him. I want to talk to you about going in and shut the door. Amen. We have to learn to do that sometimes. Amen. The book of 2 Kings, this book is actually part of what was one book at one time with 1 Kings and even some of the other books that were written before those, like the Chronicles. And this book was part of what they call the great books of the kings. Now, the difference between the Chronicles and 1 and 2 Kings is that is written from a perspective of a politician or a king, and you see all the good stuff. Yeah. Then the other one is written from a prophet's point of view. And that's when you see all the stuff that went wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so when we look at this, we understand that it was written before the Babylonian captivity, and that it was a book that was written to let us see and understand how there was a civil, a moral, and a spiritual decline. There was a political unrest, and there was disunity that gripped the people and even the leaders at that time. That means, and that to me means that they were facing times that we are facing today. We're facing times where we are in civil decline, that we are in moral decline, and that we're definitely in spiritual decline. Because I don't know about you, but I've seen and I've been some places and I've preached at our church, and we find that sometimes people don't come to church like they used to. Bible study used to outnumber Sunday school. And now we got about the same amount of people in Sunday school and Bible study. It doesn't make sense. It seems like we are on a spiritual decline. And I'm not talking about our church only. I'm talking about churches all over. If you ask pastors from everywhere, it used to be people all in the pew. Amen. Now it's just a few. And so we're at a place now where people are divided, and we have so much disunity, and not only the people, but the leaders are divided. We got problems with one with the other. And whether you're a leader in one particular organization or another, there are people fighting each other. Look at the Republicans, Democrats. They're fighting more than they've ever fought before. You look at the churches, the preachers. The people can get along, but it's the preachers that can't get along. Amen. And sometimes it's a matter of, well, it ain't a matter of who's preaching, but sometimes it's just a matter of, I just don't like you. Now, how in the world can we preach to you all and we got those kind of issues? Remember on last night, I told you that in order for you to get over your grudge and in order for you to start liking people, you got to start praying with people. And, you know, we need to really consider that. And sometimes when you begin to pray with somebody, then you start to let go, because you can't come in the presence of God and not realize that he's forgiven you. So you start to want to forgive them. Amen. And so here it is in 2 Kings. We find out that this book, this part of 2 Kings, is about Elisha. And Elisha, his name means God of supplication. Amen. And so if you can see now that this is kind of coinciding with prayer, because she needed something, and Elisha was the one that came to her, and he asked her only so that he could intercede for her, and he knew that God was the God of supplication. Supplications is a type of prayer. It's a type of prayer that we should offer unto God. The Bible even tells us in, believe it's Philippians, he says that when we make our requests known, make it known through what? Thanksgiving. We need to make our supplication known through what? Thanksgiving. We need to know and have confidence. We need to set aside some time to pray. That's what supplications are. Supplications is not when you just, I just woke up and I found out that I got something going wrong and I just said, Lord, help me to do this. No, supplications, I set time out to pray so I can talk to God about this. I have a time that I turn my phone off. I get to God and get in God's presence, and I begin to thank God for whatever it is that is deficient in my life that he can bring, because he's a sufficient God. He's a God that is more than enough. Do I have anybody in here witnessing with me? And so we have to learn how to pray and learn how to understand that God is the God of supplications. What am I saying? He is simply the God that answers prayer. Simply God that answers prayer. Now, when we look at this, you'll find out that this is one of the chapters where you'll find that Elisha done some miracles. He done some different things. This Elisha was a faithful man. He was a servant to Elijah, who was whose name meant God is Jehovah. He was the servant of him, and that man did 16 miracles. This Elisha, or some people call him Elisha, but it's Elisha today because I'm preaching. This Elisha, he did 32 miracles. Now, to remind you of how he got to where he was, the Bible says that he had a double portion of the anointing. Because what did he do? He asked for, he supplicated, he believed that if I see him when he goes up, I'll get a double portion. Now, what did he do? What I like about Elisha, and I'm going to give you a little more history and I'm going to move on, but what I like about him is that one day, all he was doing was minding his business. He was at work. He was the foreman or the owner of 12 yokes of oxen, and he was out in the field working, and the man of God passed by, and his mantle just went by him. In other words, what happened was that he was touched by the anointing. And when he was touched by the anointing, he decided that I'm doing the wrong thing. I need to be about God's business. I need to follow the anointing. And see, the problem with us is that sometimes we don't want to follow the anointing. Sometimes we rather do our own thing. We don't want to flow with nobody. We got a problem with everything. That ain't God. Something wrong with this. I don't trust them. We become mysterious and spooky, but you need to follow the anointing. He followed the anointing when Elijah told him, he said, look, he said, you'll certainly get this double portion. But before he did that, let me point out this. He said, only let me kiss my mother and father. And he said that he said, I'll follow you. He took and he cut up the yoke of oxen to let us know that he wasn't planning on going back. See, what man set his hand to the gospel plow and then what? Look back. Don't go back to what you used to do. Go on and follow the anointing. He went and he said he kissed his mother and father. What does that mean? That means that he honored the people he was about to leave. He honored them for being his mother and father. You know what a lot of us do? We don't honor the mother and father. We don't even honor the religion of mother and father. Some of us, what mama used to do and how she used to pray and how she used to praise God ain't good enough for us no more. Oh, Lord, help me today. We need to honor them. Don't put them down. Don't try to talk about them. Oh, I can't get nothing out of that. You can if you put something into it. Put some time into it. Put some prayer into it. Put some praise into it. Put some word into it. Put some effort in the way that they pray. And appreciate them, love them, and then go on and follow the anointing. But when it was time, Elijah told him, he said, you stay here, testing him. He said, no, I'm not staying, I'm following you. I'm following the man of God. He was the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was the servant of Elijah. It got to a point that they would tease him. They said, hey, flunky, do you know that your master is about to leave you? He told him, shut up. I already know what's going on. God got this. You know, sometimes you have people that'll mess with you about what God has called you to do. You got to be confident in what God called you to do. Don't worry about the opinions of others. Don't try to get them to pat you on the back and say, yeah, it's going to work. Guess what? You may not have not one person to tell you it's a good thing you're doing. But if it's what God say do, then you do it. Do you know that sometimes this walk with God becomes a lonely walk? Do you know that sometimes it becomes a place where people who used to be your friends say, I can't be friends with you anymore because look like you done changed? Well, you know what? It ought to be a good thing. You should have wanted me to change, because when I was living destructively, I was about to go down a road that I shouldn't have went down. You were all right with that. But if you can't, look, you can't count them as friends if they happen to see you destructive. You can't say that was truly your friend. They may have been on assignment from the devil to help keep you off track. But anyway, he followed him, and then when he saw him go up, the mantle fell. And he went back and he hit the waters. Where is the God of Elijah? He's still praying. The waters opened. He walked over and they saw this and they feared. Amen. Now, here it is now, this certain man, this prophet, he goes into a woman, and the Bible says in verse 1, now there were there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Now, the sons of the prophets, they were men that had been trained up by the prophets. They were part of a long-standing school that you'll find out that Samuel started. Amen. And you know what we got a problem with nowadays, and I'm saying this, we got a lot of preachers here. I'm not picking at anybody. I'm not saying it. But what we got a problem is that we don't like other preachers to tell us nothing. We think we're the doctor of it all just because God called us. But we got to understand that there is a certain respect. There is something that we should do. We should humble ourselves. We should be poured into. We should have somebody to teach us something. Oh, you don't teach yourself everything. Amen. If you're teaching yourself everything, then something wrong with you. Amen. And some of what you're teaching ain't going to be right. Amen. Somebody got to instruct you. Somebody got to tell you. And so here it was, one of the sons of the prophet's wife, a widow. She said, she cried out. Now, when I looked at that, I said, she cried out. And when I looked at that, I said, this woman, the word cried, it means to shriek out of grief. It means to moan or even to weep uncontrollably. So this led me to believe, according to the text, it made me believe that this woman had an infirmity, and she was ailing because of the death of her husband and the problems that came with that death. Amen. She was wailing because she not only did she have death, but she had debt. Preach. Not only did she have debt, but the one thing that really stood out is that she was still faithful. She was still devoted. Come on and say amen. Her husband died. She was destitute and in despair. She was possibly depressed, but she was still devoted to the Lord. You know, whenever we begin to go through our problems and our pains, we seem to start to backslide. That ain't a word we hear anymore. You don't hardly hear that in the church anymore. People don't talk about backsliding because you can sit in the pew and be backslidden. Preach. You can sit right there and say, I ain't preaching no more. I ain't praying no more. I ain't singing no more. I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to come sit on the back pew and I'm going to fold my arms. I'm just going to be here. You have just backslidden because you are not in the place where God wants you to be. God intends for you to be in the place. What do you think he said when he came to Adam? You thought he don't know where Adam is? When he said, Adam, where art thou? He wasn't looking for Adam because he knew exactly where Adam was, because he's an all-knowing God. So what was he saying? He said, Adam, you're not in your place spiritually. You're not where you're supposed to be. So where are you hiding? We have to be devoted, regardless if we're destitute. Regardless if we're in despair, regardless if we're depressed, regardless if we're in debt, most of us in here are in debt. Regardless of that, even if death happens, we must still be devoted to God. She said, my husband, thy servant is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. This woman was the wife of a faithful man. And here it is, she's struggling, she's suffering. And a lot of times we think that because we're faithful, because we come to church, because we say amen, we clap our hands, we do our dance, and we are holy, that nothing is supposed to happen to us. But the mere fact that you come here and get a word is why things happen to you. The Bible tells us that when the word of God is sown, he said that there is one that come to divide, to choke it up. As soon as the word is sown, the enemy comes to try to snatch it up. He does not want the word to take root in your heart. And so the reason why the devil fights you so hard, I don't care how good you've been, is because of the word. Oh yeah, the reason why the devil try to take you out, the devil try to do the things that he do and attack your life, is because of the word of God that's in your life. I wish I had somebody. She said that the creditors are coming to take my two sons and make them bond men. Now, we got to see something here. This woman is no different from us. She had a dead husband. She had a loved one that died. She was under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and her sons were about to be bound up and put into bond servanthood. Amen. When we think about that, just think about your own children. Whenever the devil gets you off balance, what he's trying to do not is just to get to you, but he's trying to get to your children. He's trying to bind them up. He's trying to get you so focused on your problems and your pain and your situation and your circumstances that you can't see that that devil in the room talking to your child. Now he's on the internet talking to somebody he shouldn't be. Now he's down the street hanging out with JoJo them under the tree getting some dope. Come on and say amen. The enemy is trying to bind your children while you're worried, while you're depressed. We can't afford to linger in depression. We can't afford to linger in distress. We need to be like David. In my distress, I called on the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Y'all with me on tonight? So the first thing I recognize is this woman had an infirmity. And when we have infirmities, when we are infirmed, when we are afflicted, when we are going through something, we need to realize that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. He didn't say some of them. He said all of them. We need to understand that even though weapons formed up, he said that no weapon formed against you shall what? Prosper, but any tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Him, for this is the heritage of the servants of God. Do I have any witnesses here? I've seen some things form up and it looked like it was going to do something, but then I realized it ain't going to do a thing. You know how sometimes clouds come and you say, boy, it looked like it's going to rain, and then the sun pops out. You say, oh, that ain't nothing. That's how you need to look at those things that come your way. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible said that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. And you know what? I realized that the standard is the Holy Ghost. He's in me and he'll lift me up. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then whatever it is that got you down, when you start talking to God, the Holy Ghost rises up, and guess what? He lifts you up. He builds you up, and he says you can make it. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. If you got any infirmities, don't you worry. The Bible said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. We need to begin to confess. We need to begin to speak it, but we got to pray before we speak. You don't have no power if you ain't in tune with God. If you don't have a connection with God, you can't say what you think you ought to be saying. So many people trying to claim it and claim it, call it and haul it, blab it and grab it. Ain't prayed one day, ain't prayed 1 hour, 1 minute, just been calling stuff. I'm calling too, but I can call through prayer. I call on the name of the Lord and he heard me. Hallelujah. But let's go on before we be here all night. Verse 2. And Elisha, the God of supplication, said unto her, what shall I do for thee? You know, when you call on God and when you, you know, the one thing I like about this lady, one other thing I like about her is that she didn't just sit back and say, well, look like the man of God ought to see what's wrong with me. Huh? Preachers do, you know, you got people that do that. Look like he talked to the Lord, then the Lord should have told him that I was going through. He passed right by me and didn't say one word. Now, Pastor, no, I've been sick. He ain't called me. I thought you just missed service like you normally do. Amen. Is it all right? Yeah, I thought you just missed service like you normally do. It's sad, you know, when people, when you pass by people and you ain't seen them at church and you know, and then they go to hiding from you. It's something, ain't it?